Welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. Happy April Fool's Day. Our first show of the week is about an April Fool's party. We have two episodes of My Friend Irma starring two single working women in New York City. Irma is a dumb blonde, and Jane is her level-headed roommate. The show was sponsored by Lever Brothers, and our two shows this week each feature one of their products, Swan soap and Pepsodent toothpaste. This is My Friend Irma, April Fool's Party, first broadcast March 28, 1949 on CBS.
For the safety of your smile, use Pepsodent twice a day. See your dentist twice a year. Lever Brothers Company presents the Pepsodent show, My Friend Irma, created by Cy Howard and starring Marie Wilson as Irma with Joan Banks as Jane.
Friendship, friendship, just a perfect friendship. When other friendships have been forgot, theirs will still be hot.
In Manhattan. In Central Park, you can hear the gay songs of the cheery robins. You can see the little shoots of grass poking their way out of the ground, and the tiny buds sprouting from the limbs of trees. Yes, this is the time when everything comes to life. Everything, that is, except my roommate, Irma Peterson. Now, don't get me wrong, her eyes are open, but whatever there is behind them in that adorable blonde head still sleeps like a rock. For instance, the other evening, I was reading the newspaper, and I said, Irma, honey, I see that Eddie Cantor is being sent to Milwaukee. And Irma said,
oh, I don't think that's fair. Those important men get away with everything.
What do you mean, honey?
Well, anybody else would be sent to Alcatraz.
Shall we go a little further? All right. Last night, we went out to dinner, and when the waiter brought our order, he said,
would you care for Lee and Perrins with your steak, miss?
And Irma said,
no, thank you. We don't care to eat with strangers.
Do you get the picture? That's one of the reasons I'd rather eat at home. Honey, have you finished drying the dishes?
What?
I said, did you finish drying the dishes?
I think so. Now I've got to sweep.
What? Oh, not another dish. I'm glad the knives and forks aren't breakable, or we'd be eating with our hands.
I'm sorry, Jane. It's Al's fault.
Al's fault?
Yes, Al says I'm his favorite dish, and thinking about it gets me so excited I drop the one I had in my hands. I'm sorry, Jane.
Don't go into your sorry act. Just sit there quietly. I'm trying to figure out something.
What do you want to know, Jane? You can always count on me.
Let me see. Now, Thursday is the 31st.
And Friday's April Fool's Day.
That's right.
I know it is because my boss says if there's a parade that day, I should be the one to lead it.
He picked the champ. Now, let me see. Mrs. O'Reilly, the professor, Richard, Mr. and Mrs. Horowitz upstairs.
Jane, what are you figuring out?
Well, I don't know if it ever occurred to you, Irma, but these people have entertained us during the past few weeks, and I feel we're about due to return the compliment. It's a social obligation.
Oh, Jane, do we have to go to jail?
What are you talking about?
That's how Al's friends pay their debts to society.
Please, Irma, you're distracting me. Oh, it's about time we gave a party, and I want to plan something different. Since Friday is April Fool's Day, I was thinking it'd be fun if everyone had to come disguised as their complete opposite, the person they least resembled. That would fit in with the April Fool motif.
Well, I don't understand, Jane. Who would I come as?
Someone completely opposite from you. Say, Professor Einstein. Your boyfriend, Al, he could come as a working man.
Oh, that sounds like fun, Jane. Jane?
Hmm?
Could I invite Amber Lipscott?
Positively not.
But, Jane, Amber's a lot of fun at a party. She entertains.
Amber entertains?
Yeah, she tears telephone books in half.
What does she do for an encore? Throw the piano out the window? Look, once and for all, I do not want Amber at my party, understand?
All right, Jane. Let me know when you change your mind.
Come in.
It's only me, Professor Kropotkin. Hello, Janie and Irma, my two little stars. One blinking overhead, and the other with her head on the blink. Excuse me, a little joke I picked up from a sidewalk astronomer.
Oh, Professor.
I'm sorry, Janie. Girls, could you let me have, please, a pencil and piece of paper? I got to write a note.
Oh, certainly, Professor. You can use this pad with the lines on it. It's the one I always use to keep the words straight.
Thank you. Thank you, Madame. Mrs. O'Reilly cooked dinner for me last night, and I want you should know how I feel about it. Now, let me see. Dear Mrs. O'Reilly, the chicken was delightful, so fresh from the oven, and anyone who cooks like that deserves a lot of loving.
Why, that's very pretty. Come in.
Hello, girls.
Hello, Mrs. O'Reilly.
Oh, writing a letter, Professor?
No, Mrs. O'Reilly, he's writing a beautiful poem just for you.
For me? Why, Professor, you're so sweet. Can I read it now?
Certainly. Here you are.
The chicken was delightful, so fresh from the oven. And anyone who cooks like that deserves a lot of loving. Professor darling.
Read on, Miss O'Reilly, read on.
And what I'm loving to shoving is O'Reilly in the oven. Why, you shabby Shakespeare.
Now, look. Before the two of you get into the main bout, there's something I want to tell you. Irma and I are giving an April's Fool party Friday, and you're invited.
Oh, how exciting. Is it a costume party, Janie?
Uh-huh. And you must come disguised as the person you least resemble, your exact opposite.
Now, let me think. The exact opposite.
It's very simple. Come as a human being.
Don't be insulting. Janie, what if I put on a bathing suit and come as Miss America?
I think that's perfect. After all, you was here when it was discovered. And don't yell at me or I'll come as Columbus and prove it.
Well, there's plenty of time to make up your minds.
Irma, darling, what are you coming as?
Well, Janie says I should come as Professor Einstein.
That's clever.
But I'll have to tell my hairdresser to let my hair grow long, because I don't think there's time to grow a beard. I mean,
we know what you mean, honey. We think. Now, remember, it's this Friday.
Yeah, we'll be here. And if you don't mind, Janie, I'll bring my violin and play some gypsy music. La da da
dee da da da. Oh, wonderful.
Oh, as much as I hate to admit it, when I hear that gypsy music, I love to close my eyes and whirl about madly and leap into space with wild ecstasy.
That's nice. Remind me to play for you on the roof some night. Come on, Miss O'Reilly. Goodbye, girls.
Well, now, let's see. How many guests are we going to have? Come in.
Oh, hello, Amber.
Hello, dearie. What's the matter with you, Miss Stacy? Ain't you talking to nobody?
Hello, Amber.
Well, you might at least say you like my new fur piece.
Oh, it's very pretty, Amber.
Oh, thanks, dearie. It comes from a llama in South America.
Oh, one of those religious fellows who lives in a monastery?
Who knows? I never look a gift horse in the mouth. Say, what's new, Emma?
Oh, Jane is giving a party next Friday.
Oh, that's nice. What will I wear?
Well, you see, Amber,
I don't see nothing, Miss Stacy, and let's keep this on a high plane. Because one word from you that I don't like, and I'll let you have it over the head with that washboard.
Irma, will you explain to Amber? I'm going down to the drugstore and buy a copy of Movie Stars Parade magazine.
You know, dearie, it looks like that stuck-up girlfriend of yours don't want me at her party. What's the matter? Is she afraid of competition?
Oh, Amber, it's nothing personal. It's just that she doesn't like you.
Well, it's half your apartment, isn't it?
Well, what good is that? I can't invite just half of you. Now, let me talk to Jenny some more when she comes back, Amber.
Well, don't force the issue, dearie. But if she's worried about me eating like the pig she thinks I am, tell her I've been taking reducing treatments at Madame Rushmore's. I have an appointment right now.
Your waist does look smaller, Amber.
Oh, that's nothing. Look at my ankles. They're almost as slim as my knees. Oh, say, I'll be late. I'll see you later, Irma.
Oh, hi, Amber.
Oh, I haven't got time for chit-chat. So long.
Hiya, chicken.
Hello, Al, honey. What are you so happy about?
Chicken, have I got a deal that's a pip. Got to clean up.
What is it, Al?
It's a special tea kettle for married men who like to kid around with a maid in the kitchen.
A special tea kettle?
Uh-huh. It not only whistles when the water is boiling, it whistles when the wife is coming. What do you think of it, chicken?
Oh, Al, it's wonderful.
Decided it had to do something desperate. Can't stand that line at the unemployment office anymore. Keeps getting longer every week. It's disgusting. The moment you find something good, everybody tries to horn in on it. What's that list you're reading?
Oh, Jane is giving an April Fool's costume party. Everyone must come as the person they least resemble. Someone exactly opposite.
Makes it pretty tough for me to find. You see, I have so much in common with most of the world's outstanding figures.
What do you mean, Al?
Well, can't come as a movie star because I ain't so bad to look at myself.
Well, how about some big important politician?
Well, that ain't opposite, chicken. Them guys don't work any more than I do. Only one man can help me.
Who are you calling, Al?
Who else but... Hello, Joe. Al, got a problem. How would you describe me? Huh? Honest? Ambitious? Courteous? And a fine taxpayer? Joe, ain't you laying it on a little? Huh? Oh, you think the police are tapping your wire? Hey, you hot again, Joe? Well, what for? Mm-hmm. Oh, what do you mean the government considers it unfair competition? Oh, you're printing your own money. Well, I better get off the wire. So long, Joe. Yeah, we'll have to think of a costume myself. Hey, chicken, why are you looking so depressed? Party ought to be fun.
Yes, but Jane won't let me invite Amber Lipscott.
What is this with Jane? Always putting on the dog with our high society friends. You tell her you got friends, too, and you love them. And taking care of them is more important than money. You got it?
Got it.
Good. Now, what are you going to tell Jane?
I'm going to tell her that if we love those who are important to us, they'll always take our money.
Here's good news, big money-saving news about the wonderful film-removing Pepsodent, an amazingly improved film-fighting formula for brightening teeth and cleaning breath. And you can get it now at a sensational introductory bargain. Listen.
Get two 25-cent tubes of new film-removing Pepsodent for only 33 cents. Yes, two 25-cent tubes in a special twin pack, regular price 50 cents, now only 33 cents. You save 17 cents. Yes, penny for penny, ounce for ounce. New Pepsodent gives you more for your money than any other leading toothpaste.
And more in results, too. For no other toothpaste can duplicate Pepsodent's new film-removing formula. It foams wonderfully, goes to work faster removing film, makes your teeth brighter and your breath cleaner. So act now. Get two 25-cent tubes of new film-removing Pepsodent for only 33 cents. More for your money than any other leading toothpaste today.
Cheer up, sister, and you too, mister. Pepsodent.
Pepsodent.
The paste for you.
Well, I've just gotten
gotten back in the house, and I know that Irma must be upset about something because she's doing everything backwards. She's looking in the icebox to see if the cake she just put in has burned yet, and now she's looking in the stove for ice cubes. And I know her mind has left her head because she's just turned on the Mixmaster, and she's dancing to it. What is tormenting her, I must find out. Irma, what's bothering you?
Oh, nothing.
Look, sweetie, I can't take this much longer. If you have something to say, get it out.
Oh, I know you want to have Richard and all your swell friends here for your party Friday, but I don't see what harm it could do to have my friend Amber.
You don't? Look, honey, I don't want to be mean, but once before you talked me into letting Amber come here to a party. New Year's, remember? And what happened? She threw Mr. Martin down 3 flights of stairs.
Oh, Jane, that was part of the game. We were playing charades, and Amber was acting out good to the last drop.
This I know, but tell me, what is that dreadful stuff she uses for perfume?
She doesn't know.
What do you mean she doesn't know?
Well, someone sent her a bottle of something for Christmas, and the label was off, and Amber won't take any chances of drinking it, so she wears it.
Oh, please, Irma, come in.
Hello, Jane, Irma.
Oh, Richard, I'm glad you dropped by. Look, are you going to be busy Friday night?
What, no, Jane, why?
Well, I'm having a little April Fool's party. Everyone is coming as the person they least represent.
Well, I'd love to come, but I have a little problem. I've got to find a nurse for my mother.
A nurse for your mother? Why, she's a grown woman.
Irma, be still. Richard, is your mother sick?
Well, she's a little under the weather, depressed and all that. And when she's that way, she's impossible to get along with. So the doctor recommends a nurse to pamper her. Mother's fired 6 of them already, so I'm on my way to the agency to see if I can pick out a nurse she'll like.
Well, Richard, I think I know just the girl. She used to live with me at the YWCA. She's wonderful. I'm sure your mother will like her.
Oh, Jane, that's just the kind of girl I've been looking for.
Huh?
For mother, I mean.
Oh, that's better. I'll try to locate her right away.
Fine. I'll call you up later. I'll be at the club.
And don't forget Friday night.
I will. Goodbye, Jane.
Bye.
Bye, Irma.
Goodbye, Richard.
Irma, I'm going to run right down to the Y and see if I can find out where Betty White lives now.
All right, Jane, but are you sure I can't invite Amber?
Irma, will you please get her off your mind?
Well, how?
Well, occupy yourself. Make some favors for our party.
All right, I'll make some favors.
Good. Now, have you forgotten about Amber?
Yes, I have.
Fine.
Jane?
What, sweetie?
I'll make the favors if you'll do me a favor.
What is it?
Can I bring Amber to the party?
Goodbye, Irma Peterson.
Oh. Come in.
It's only us again, me and Mrs. O'Reilly.
Irma, where's Janie?
She's not here, Professor.
Irma, darling, what are you crying about?
She won't let my girlfriend Amber come to the party. Jane doesn't think she's classy enough.
Well, I think Amber should be like I am. Where I'm not wanted, I don't shove myself.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Well, I don't know who shoved you, but whoever did it certainly pushed you out of shape.
Now, look here, Professor.
Oh, no, please, Miss O'Reilly, can't you see Irma's in trouble?
Well, then don't go insulting me, because Friday night you'll learn a thing or two. When I go to a party, the men all flock around me.
They do?
Yes, they do.
Well, I can understand that. You look like a barrel of beer.
Well, that's the last straw.
No, it isn't. The last straw is on my bed, but you got the nerve to call it a mattress.
Hello, Emma.
Oh, hello, Amber. This is Professor Kropotkin.
Glad to see you.
And this is Mrs. O'Reilly.
Then why can't I come to the party?
Well, I don't always look like this. I just got through cleaning the living room.
Come on, Mrs. O'Reilly. I will not stand by to see you insulted. I'll help you with your costume for the party. Now, my suggestion is that you come as Marie Antoinette, and I'll just come with an axe.
Emma, did your snooty roommate change your mind about me coming to the party?
No, Amber, she doesn't want you, but don't feel hurt.
It's all right, Emma. I'm getting used to being treated like public nothing number one.
Oh, Amber, don't get a complex like that. Take me. A lot of people go around calling me a dumb Dora. But they can't be so smart if they don't even know my right name.
No, dearie. What they say about me is true. I ain't got no culture. But I've tried to improve myself. I even bought that book by Emily Post. You know them silly things like how to eat an olive and how to get rid of the pit without nobody seeing it? And I've been practicing for weeks. Emma, would you believe it? I got a bathtub full of olive pits.
Well, Amber, I don't think you have to go to all that trouble. Why don't you just bring a little change purse to the table with you like I do?
And this business about the fella getting up when you're introduced, that's a lot of baloney, too. I've introduced myself to 100 guys on the bus and not one of them got up. And I keep trying.
Well, Amber, maybe there are other books.
I've read them all. I read that one on how to be a good conversationalist. Emma, do you know that the pyramids in Egypt are over 5,000 years old?
And nobody collected yet?
No, dearie, this ain't a club. These are statues with points on the top. Yeah. So I say to the fellas, do you know the pyramids are over 5,000 years old? And they say, good, let's neck. Yeah, what's the use? Culture, smulcher, every guy you meet's a vulture.
But Amber, there must be something about you that's nice.
I know what you mean, dearie. I only went with one fella that appreciated me. Gerald the jockey. I used to hang around the stables with him. And when the horses got sick, I'd help take care of them until they got well. You know, I learned a lot about medicine that way. Boys used to call me the Florence Nightingale of the stables.
Gee, I'll bet if you were Dr. Amber Lipscott, Jane would invite you to the party.
Yeah. Funny, I always wanted to be a nurse, but I never got the opportunity.
Hello? No, Jane, Richard hasn't called yet. What? If he calls, tell him you have the name and address of that nurse for his mother. All right, goodbye.
What's wrong? Somebody sick?
Yes, Richard is trying to find a nurse for his mother and... Say!
Emma! Are you thinking the same thing I'm thinking?
Well, Amber, I like you, and I want to help you, and I want Jane to respect you, so she'll invite you to the party. But is it the right thing to do?
Look, don't worry about it, dearie. I can handle it. The chief veterinarian at the stables used to say that when it comes to nursing, the only difference between a horse and a human is that one has a tail.
I'm a little worried.
Well, what can you lose? Just call up Rich's mother and leave my name. It's my big chance, Emma.
All right, Amber, I'll do it. But promise me one thing.
What is it?
If she breaks her leg, don't shoot her.
It's a promise.
Happy days are here again.
Well, honey, this is more like it. A little while ago, you were in the dumps, but now you're in the clouds. Well, I'm certainly glad to see you're no longer angry about Amber not coming to my party Friday.
Oh, I'm not so sure that Amber won't be at the party.
Wait a minute. Irma, you didn't invite her after what I told you.
Oh, of course not, Jane. But maybe someone else will invite her.
What are you talking about?
Oh, fiddly-dee.
Irma, I don't like it when you say fiddly-dee, because I know that when you're fiddling, Rome must be burning. Oh, dear, you've got me so jumpy, I don't know what to expect. Come in.
Jane, I want to have a talk with you.
Why, Richard, you're angry. What's wrong?
Plenty. Where did you get that so-called nurse you sent Mother?
Richard, I don't understand.
Neither do I. She wants my mother to run 3 furlongs every morning.
But, Richard, I can't understand that. Betty White is a registered nurse.
Betty White? I just had Mother on the phone an hour ago at Long Island, and she says the nurse's name is Amber Lipscott.
Amber Lipscott? But that's not the girl I...
Oh, what's the difference? Mother's probably fired her by now and had a nervous breakdown.
But, Richard, I can't... I mean... Oh, Irma, what have you done to me? Don't let me stand here like a fool in front of Richard. Explain. Tell him.
Well, you see, Richard, it's sort of like this. Amber wasn't invited to the party because Emily Post has a bathtub full of olive pits and Florence Nightingale gave her a seat to the bus driver.
Will you please stop before I need a nurse?
Oh, Richard, Richard, will you ever forgive me?
Come in.
Telegram for Miss Stacy.
For me? I'll take it. Gee, I hope it's bad news. Anything to forget what's just happened. But, Richard, listen to this. It's from your mother.
Mother?
Yes. Dear Jane, thanks for the wonderful nurse you just sent me. Never in my life have I met such a character. I have laughed so much I haven't had time to remember I'm sick. But she's so extreme in her suggestions. Personally, don't you think I'm too old to take boxing lessons? My deepest gratitude, and if I am well enough, I will come to your party with my nurse, naturally. Oh, no.
I guess that's all Mother needed right along to get her mind off herself.
You see, Jane, you said Amber wasn't good enough for anything, but you were wrong. She's got Mrs. Rhinelander out of her mind.
Don't miss the sensational bargain introducing new film-removing Pepsodent toothpaste.
Get two 25-cent tubes of new Pepsodent for only 33 cents. You save 17 cents. Yes, two 25-cent tubes in a special twin pack, regular price 50 cents, only 33 cents. Penny for penny, ounce for ounce, new Pepsodent gives you more than any other leading toothpaste.
More in results, too. No other toothpaste can duplicate new Pepsodent's film-removing formula. It foams amazingly, goes to work faster removing film, making teeth brighter, breath cleaner. Hurry, offer limited. Get two 25-cent tubes of new film-removing Pepsodent for only 33 cents.
Pepsodent toothpaste fights film on teeth and cleans breath too. Pepsodent toothpaste gives film on teeth the old skidoo.
Has done it again. She has dragged me through mental fire and water, and I've come out smiling. Why? I have to. Everyone else is so happy. As for Amber Lipscott, she'll be at my party because naturally I can't hurt Mrs. Rhinelander's feelings, and because of my weakened condition, I've let Al talk me into inviting Mushy. Irma, if this party is a success, I am going to be the most surprised girl in the world.
Oh, Jane, I'm so excited. Friday night, the Blue Bloods will mix with the Red Bloods.
Well, what's so exciting about that?
This'll be my first party in Technicolor.
And you know, Red Blood or Blue Blood, I'll really need a mental transfusion living with my friend Irma.
My Friend Irma is produced and directed by Cy Howard. Park Levy writes the script with Stanley Adams and Roland McLean, and it is brought to you by Pepsodent Toothpaste with Irium, another fine product of Lieber Brothers Company. Marie Wilson is starred as Irma, with Joan Banks as Jane. The part of Al was played by John Brown. Hans Conried was heard as Professor Kropotkin, and Gloria Gordon as Mrs. O'Reilly. Music was under the direction of Lud Gluskin.
Ladies, make your next permanent a rave home permanent. This new personalized home permanent from the famous Pepsodent Laboratories eliminates all guesswork. With Rave, and only with Rave, you get the easy-to-use dial-a-wave chart that gives you the one right wave for your kind of hair. Rave waving times are up to twice as fast as ordinary home permanents. Yet a Rave wave is gentler, long-lasting, more natural-looking from the very first day. The complete Rave kit is $2. Rave refill kits, $1. Both kits contain the easy-to-use dial-a-wave chart. Dial your Rave number for a personalized home permanent.
Tune in 1 hour earlier next week and listen to the Lux Radio Theater, followed by the Pepsodent show My Friend Irma, both brought to you by Lever Brothers Company. Wendell Niles speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. My Friend Irma was so popular that it went on to television in the 1950s. In the next episode, Jane's boyfriend and boss takes the girls on a top-secret trip to Washington, D.C. Enjoy My Friend Irma, Trip to Washington, first broadcast March 29th, 1948 on CBS.
Lever Brothers Company, makers of Swan, the soap with the exclusive super creamed blend, presents...
Our friend, Swan,
with my friend, Irma.
Starring Mary Wilson as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane.
Friendship, friendship, just a perfect friendship. When other friendships have been forgot, theirs will still be hot.
Two and two make four. But I have news for you. This does not apply if you happen to live with Irma Peterson. Take the other day, Irma was in the kitchen holding a pan in her hand and doing cartwheels. So I said, honey, what's the idea of doing cartwheels while you hold that pan?
Well, the recipe says place ingredients in the pan and keep turning.
I'd give that a second thought, but at the present moment, there's no time for it. My employer, and incidentally, the guy I love, has just phoned that he's coming over on a matter of great importance, and I can't imagine what it can be. Irma?
Yes, Jane?
What do you think Richard has on his mind? What's the matter, sweetie? You're crying.
He's going to propose, and I'll be all alone with just Al. I'll have nobody.
Honey, don't be ridiculous.
Oh, please, Jane, I've seen it coming. The last two times Richard was here, he had that dizzy look in his eyes.
That was only because you were engaging him in conversation. Irma, I refuse to let your imagination run away with the two of us.
Now, that must be Richard. Now, don't let him know that we were discussing anything personal.
I won't.
Okay.
Come in.
Hello, Jane. Hello, Irma.
Hello, Richard.
Oh, Richard, we were just talking about you.
Oh, me?
Oh, it was nothing personal. We were just wondering if you came over to propose.
Irma!
You know, Richard, you'll make a wonderful father.
Irma, will you please go in the kitchen and dry the dishes?
But they're dry.
Well, wet them and dry them over.
Irma, I have something personal that I'd like to discuss with Jane.
Oh, I knew I was right. Something told me. I guess it's my feminine institution.
You'll just have to forgive this outburst, Richard. You understand Irma.
No, I don't. But then again, who does? Well, Jane, I've just been on the phone to Washington. You know that block of war surplus buildings that I discussed with you?
Yeah.
Well, the group that I represent feels that they'd make a wonderful recreation center for New York's underprivileged children.
Oh, but Richard, don't you think other interests would want to grab them for commercial purposes?
Yes, that's the great danger. But if I can see Senator McLean in Washington tomorrow, I'm sure that we can swing this recreation project for the children before the others even know what's happening.
Ah, you know, Richard, Irma was right. You would make a wonderful father.
Well, that's an entirely different sort of project. Jane, I'm leaving for Washington in the morning and just for the day, and I'd like you to come along.
Oh, I'm practically packed.
And I'll help you finish, Jane.
Irma, were you listening at the door?
Oh, just when it's so important that my trip be kept a secret, too.
Oh, I'll keep it a secret. Oh, gee, Jane, I'd love to go to Washington.
Oh, but, sweetie, this is a business trip.
Oh, but I've never been to Washington. Everyone goes there. Even my graduating class went there.
Why didn't you go?
I didn't have anything to wear.
Besides, I didn't graduate. Oh, please, Richard, can't I go with you and Jane?
Well, all right, Irma. I don't mind taking one extra along, and, well, seeing Washington might prove very educational for you.
Oh, you're right, and I'll be able to see for myself the difference in the electricity down there.
The difference in electricity?
Yes, New York is AC, but Washington is DC.
Honey, that means District of Columbia.
Listen, Irma, I don't mind taking you along, but remember that this matter must be kept an absolute secret. This is what we call top drawer stuff.
Don't worry, I'll pack everything.
Jane, will you call American Airlines and then try to get reservations at the Statler Hotel for me?
All right, Richard, I will.
I'll see you later. Goodbye, girls.
Bye, Richard.
Goodbye. Oh, Jane, I'm so excited.
Well, I'm glad, honey. But remember now, no one is to know that Richard is going to Washington.
Oh, just have confidence in me, Jane. I think I'll get out my suitcase and pack.
Well, there stands Irma packing for her trip to Washington. Such packing you have never seen. She's using the bag that Al gave her for Christmas. Al says it's airplane luggage. To me, it looks like it was dropped from 10,000 feet. Now Irma's putting in the things she'll need. Now she's opening the bag and putting in the largest purse I have ever seen. I suppose that's because she's heard that in Washington, everyone passes the buck. But now here's something I can't understand. Irma, why are you taking along your old X-ray pictures?
Well, the doctor says I'm all right, but I still want to have them checked by the Secretary of the Interior.
Oh. Come in.
It's only me, Professor Kropotkin. Oh, girls, I'm so shaken. What an experience I just had.
What happened?
I was standing on the corner and a gas station blew up. So I ran across the street. As soon as I got there, a great big electric sign falls down from the explosion. So I ran across to the other side. I'm no sooner on the sidewalk than one of the gas pumps comes down and just misses my head. So I ran to the next corner.
Oh, that's dreadful. Was there a policeman around?
Yeah, I got 3 tickets for jaywalking. What a day. Irma, darling, what are you doing with that suitcase?
I'm going to Washington with Jane and Richard.
Oh, Irma, why must you broadcast everything?
Washington? Janie, do you think it'd be possible for me to come along?
Oh, well, Professor, this is a business trip, and
I'll tell you what's on my mind. As you know, I have slowly been developing a liking for Mrs. O'Reilly.
Yes, we know. We're thrilled about it.
Yeah, but we still fight day and night. Now, I have heard that a different environment often makes a change in people. So I was thinking, since you're going to Washington, I would take Mrs. O'Reilly along. Of course, I realize the danger. I'm liable to walk her past the Smithsonian Institute and I'll never see her again.
Well, Professor, I can't invite you to join us. You see, Richard's going on a highly confidential type of business, and I just haven't the right to...
Oh, I understand, Jenny. Have a nice trip, girls. Mrs. O'Reilly and I can wait. Someday I'll take her to the Petrified Forest. Maybe there she'll look a little younger. Goodbye.
Well, Jane, I've almost finished packing. Oh, Jane, have you seen that large envelope Al left here?
You mean that petition he sent weeks ago to his congressman?
Yes, maybe while we're in Washington, we can get somebody interested in it.
Irma, I have read that petition, and believe me, it has no chance. Congress will never raise the unemployment check to $300 a week. Come in.
Hello, Jane. Hiya, chicken.
Hello, Al, honey. Oh, Jane and I are getting ready to go to Washington with Richard tomorrow.
Oh, Irma, I just got through telling you it's a secret, honey.
Going to Washington, huh? Too bad you can't stick around in my moment of triumph. My greatest deal.
Is it anything like your last one? You know, pumping up cranberries and selling them for apples?
No, sir. This one is a blessing to young lovers. A money-saving sofa.
A money-saving sofa?
Uh-huh. It's got a built-in mallet. And when you're sitting there with your girl, you step on a pedal, and the mallet knocks out her kid brother who's hiding there waiting to blackmail you for a quarter. Great, huh, Chicken? Chicken, why do you look so depressed?
Oh, well, I'm going to miss you when I'm in Washington.
I'm going to miss you too, Chicken. Don't like the idea of you being on the loose in Washington. In that confused state that you're always in, you're liable to wind up in some high government position.
And I won't have a good time if you're not with me.
Feel the same way, Chicken. Don't like it when you're away. Too much temptation for a young man when he's alone in this town. Pretty girls giving me the come on. I'm only human. How long can a guy stand in the corner tilting pinball machines?
Now listen, the two of you. If all this is for my benefit, you're just wasting your time. This is a business trip, not a convention for the Lonely Hearts Club.
Oh, but Jane, we won't be in your way. I know. I'll go with Al and the professor can take Miss O'Reilly.
And we'll meet you when your business is finished.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. Richard always stops at the Statler in Washington. You can meet us there at 5.
That's the spirit, Jane. And Irma, since I'm your escort, I want one thing understood.
What, Al?
As long as I'm taking you, I insist on paying my own way.
Irma, do you ever get the feeling that you're running around with Diamond Jim Brady?
Oh, Jane, you just don't see Al the way I do. I know he has no money or job or future, but I think for a failure he's very successful.
Thank you, Chicken. Well, I'll break the good news to the professor, and I better start packing. What am I talking about packing? Everything I own, I'm wearing. Well, so long, Chicken. See you later.
Oh, Al, aren't you going to kiss me?
Okay, Chicken. Here.
Al, why do you always glance from side to side while you're kissing me?
An old booby habit. Keep looking around for the usher. Well, see you later, Chicken.
Oh, gee, Jane, you're making so many people happy with this trip.
Thanks, sweetie, but remember now, you're the only one who knows why Richard's going to Washington. And if anybody finds out, those kids will never have a recreation center.
Oh, please, Jane, I won't say anything. You yourself have often said when I open my mouth, nothing comes out.
Yeah. All right, honey, I'll pack as soon as I get back from the beauty parlor. I better hurry. See you, honey.
Hello?
Hello, my name is Stanley Adams of the International Press. I understand this is the home of Richard Rhinelander's secretary. Are you she?
She? No, I'm not she. This is me. Irma Peterson.
Oh, well, could I speak to Miss Stacy?
Well, she just went out. Why don't you call when we come back from Washington?
Oh, so you're going to Washington. With Mr. Rhinelander, I suppose?
Look, don't pump me, because I'm not going to tell you about Senator McLean and the underprivileged children.
Well, I guess there's nothing more to be said. Got to make the 9 o'clock edition. Goodbye.
Goodbye. You'll have to get up early in the morning to fool me, and even then I'm not awake.
Say, ladies, did you know that you can tell a lot about a cake of soap just by feeling it? Well, you can. Sure, the next time, run your fingers over a cake of Swan soap. Feel how it differs from other soaps. As Susie Swan says,
Swan is really different. The feel of Swan will tell you in a minute. Just feel a cake of Swan and you will see that Swan is different as can be. The reason, friend, it's super cream blend, says Susie.
Yes, ladies, Swan is the only soap that can give you this exclusive super creamed blend for your complexion care. And when you use Swan, you can tell there's a difference just by feeling that firm white cake. It feels smoother. And when you wash your face, when you smooth that luxurious Swan lather on your skin, you'll see that it feels different, too. Swan lather feels richer, creamier. Swan lather does an extra mild, extra thorough cleansing job on your skin. Yes, thanks to Swan's super creamed blend, Swan cleanses so gently, then rinses away so completely, your face looks smoother, fresher, younger. It's true, ladies, the Swan look is a young look.
Hey,
Richard and I have just arrived in Washington, and so far, so good. In a way, I'm happy that Irma and Al and the professor and Mrs. O'Reilly won't bother us for a few hours yet. I know I'd have a dreadful time explaining the sites of interest to Irma. I've already described the Lincoln Memorial to her. Despite everything I say, she still can't understand why Lincoln had to live in a log cabin when he had such a beautiful building available. Hello? Yes? Well, my name is Miss Stacy. Yes, I'm Mr. Rhinelander's secretary. We're trying to contact Senator McLean. Oh. Well, I'll try again.
No luck, Jane?
Same story, Richard.
I don't know what to think. Say, do you suppose someone else might have gotten to the senator before us?
Oh, no, Richard, I don't see how. Irma's the only one who knows anything about it, and I'm sure she's kept it a secret. That is, I'm as sure as you ever can be about Irma. I wonder who that could be. Come in. Oh, no. It's the four of you.
Yes, it's us, Jane.
Hello, Janie.
Hiya, Rich.
Hello, Al.
Hello, folks.
I thought you weren't to join us until 5 o'clock.
Oh, but you didn't say a.m. or p.m., and we didn't want to be late. Are you angry, Jane?
Oh, no, honey, but Richard can't contact Senator McLean. Irma, are you sure you didn't tell anyone?
Oh, you know me better than that.
Well, there's one more contact I can try. A friend of my father's. I'll be back soon, Jane.
Oh, Jane, we've been having such fun visiting the places of interest.
Yeah, but not having much luck. Walked around the Mint 4 times. The windows were open, but the wind was blowing the wrong way.
That's too bad, Al, and you couldn't get any samples.
Just one of them breaks. Tell me, Jane, is Richard really having trouble contacting the senator?
Oh, he's tried everything.
Well, when you're in a spot like this, there's only one man to call.
Who else?
Who else but... Hello, Joe. Al. Yeah, heard you were in Washington. How'd you do? No luck, huh? They won't make hijacking legal.
Oh, Al, stop wasting time.
Hold it, Jane. Never can tell. Joe, got a problem. Want to contact a senator. Now, who of the Washington senators do you know? Who? Plays second base. No, Joe. Not them senators. The kind that don't play ball. You know a Senator McLean? Oh, you don't? What's your hurry, Joe? You got a pose for the government? Oh, they're taking your fingerprints. Well, thanks for trying, Joe. Goodbye.
You don't have to tell us, Al. We'll just wait and see what Richard accomplishes. Have some candy, Mrs. O'Reilly?
Oh, thank you, Jeannie. This has been such a delightful trip. The professor's been so flattering. He keeps admiring my dress.
Oh. Well, it is unusual.
Thank you. It was my grandmother's wedding gown. It's what they call colonial style.
Yes, and there's room enough in the back for Benjamin Franklin to fly his kite.
Oh, isn't he the kidder? When we were at the statue of George Washington, the guide said, "This is the father of our country." And the professor pointed to me and said, "Meet his mother."
Well, I'm glad you're all having fun. Especially you, Professor.
Well, Janie, this trip is a blessing. Mrs. O'Reilly and I have never gotten along so well. You know, it's a funny thing. When I first saw Mrs. O'Reilly, I said, "I wouldn't go near that old crow." And here I am, a bird fancier.
Oh, Professor, you make me feel like a girl again.
How do you like that? In 1 minute, I knocked off 100 years. Seriously, Mrs. O'Reilly, the reason I'm getting to like you is because we see more eye to eye. Like when we visited Congress, you said the Republicans were saving this country.
I said no such thing. I said the Democrats were saving it from the Republicans.
Now, wait a minute. You mean to stand there and tell me that the Democrats ever had one man to compare with Dewey?
Well, I don't think he should be president just because he once captured Manila.
Keep out of this, Irma. Mrs. O'Reilly, you mean I brought you down here all the way to Washington to find out you're a Democrat?
And what's wrong with being a Democrat? I happen to know a few things about these matters.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do.
Look, Mrs. O'Reilly, don't think you know everything about politics just because you helped Betsy Ross make the flag.
Why, you old broken-down fiddle player, you.
Me you call broken down? By Humpty Dumpty with six unions couldn't put you together again.
Why, you...
Go ahead, say it.
For goodness sakes, Edward, please, we'll be thrown out of the hotel.
Well, she's not going to talk to me that way. I'm getting out of here.
And so am I. And, Professor, if you ever dare talk to me again, I'll split your ticket. I'm going.
Oh, please, all of you, please.
Jane.
Richard, you're white. What's wrong?
Look at this newspaper headline.
Let me see it. Richard Rhinelander arrived in Washington to negotiate for purchase of a group of war surplus buildings. Oh, how awful. Oh, who could have...
Well, the article is bylined by a New York reporter, Stanley Adams.
Oh, what a coincidence. That's a nice young man who phoned me.
Irma. Oh, no. You didn't tell him Richard was coming to Washington.
Well, I didn't say on what plane.
Oh.
Chicken, I know you're the champ at messing things up, but what are you trying to do, make the Olympic team?
I didn't mean anything.
Oh, Irma, now the whole recreation project is ruined. Someone else will beat us to it.
No, it's not my pride that matters. It's just all those kids.
I don't know why you all have to pick on me. Other people do things wrong. After all, this is Washington.
Now, honey, there's no sense in crying over spilt milk.
Go ahead, blame that on me, too. Goodbye, all of you.
I think I'd better go after her. If she ever gets in that Pentagon building, she'll be 60 years old before we find her.
No, Al, let her walk it off. She'll feel better.
Well, I guess we can catch the next train. There's no sense in trying to see the senator now.
Everyone picks on me. My best friends, even Al. Wait until the next time he wants to dance. For a date, I'll say, listen, you, I'm through, and it won't do you any good to come crawling to me on your knees.
Lady, can I help it if I'm short?
I'm sorry. I was talking to myself. What's this place? The Ford Theater. Oh, mister.
Yes, miss?
What's playing here?
Playing? Madam, this is the Ford Theater. It's now a national museum. Here is where Lincoln was shot by John Wilkes Booth. Now, would you like to go in?
No, thank you. I'd rather wait until the picture changes.
Well, Al, did you find her?
No, and I've been all over. I went out to Mount Vernon. I think she might have been there because they said a blonde girl dropped in, said she wanted a pound of Martha Washington candy.
Oh, Al, we've already missed our train. Shall we call the police?
Don't like to do business with people out of town. Let's wait.
What's the matter, lady? Are you lost?
No. I just want to sit here and think about what I've done to those poor children.
Well, how many children have you?
Thousands.
What?
And they're underprivileged. I mean, they're not mine. What's the difference?
Pardon me, officer.
Oh, good afternoon, Senator.
I was sitting on the next bench. I couldn't help but overhear the young lady.
Well, she doesn't make much sense to me. Maybe you better talk to her. Good day, Senator.
Good day. may I sit down, miss?
If you want to. Say, did that office call you, Senator?
That's right.
Well, what are you doing here?
Why, I like it here. It's my only chance to get away from people who keep pestering me for their own selfish wants. Have you ever been to Washington before, miss?
No.
What have you seen so far?
Well, I saw the theater where Lincoln drove his Ford into a booth.
I beg your pardon?
Well, what's the difference? You wouldn't like the picture. And then I went out to Mount Vernon.
Yes?
They don't have any candy.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, and I saw Washington's monument.
Quite high, isn't it?
Yes, I wonder how he got down when he finished it.
Just a moment, miss. I've never run into anyone quite, start slowly. Now, where are you from?
My home is in New York. I don't think I can give you my name or phone number because I'm going around with Al.
Al?
Yes. I'm angry at him. You see, I came down here with Richard Rhinelander about some underprivileged children.
Richard Rhinelander?
Yes, Senator. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you by your first name. But, gosh, it's so nice of you to talk to me like this. I miss my mother and father so.
Well, are they dead?
No, they're married. Well, I'd better be running along, sir. Goodbye. Hello, everybody.
Oh, honey, for goodness sakes, where have you been?
Oh, nowhere in particular, just killing time. Talking to a nice man.
Oh, well, I'm relieved. We've been waiting for you. Well, come on, Richard, we're set.
All right, let's go. Oh, that darn phone. Hello?
Mr. Rhinelander?
Yes?
This is Senator McLean.
Oh, yes, Senator. Well, I've been trying to reach you all day.
Well, I thought it was another favor seeker, but now I know differently. I see your message here, and I want you to have those buildings for the Children's Recreation Center.
Well, Senator, I'm overwhelmed. But to what do we owe this sudden decision?
Well, I ran into a young lady who said she was a friend of yours. A blonde.
A blonde? Well, hey, that must be Irma.
I don't know how she got that way. But we must never let it happen to any other New York child. The deal is yours. Goodbye.
I found Irma putting all our bars of Swan soap in the sewing basket. Well, naturally, I was curious, so I said, "Why, honey?" And Irma said,
"Well, you see, Jane, spring is coming. Maybe the swan wants to make a nest."
Well, Irma, you certainly take good care of your swan soap. And why not? Swan takes good care of you, too. Sure, Swan likes nothing better than to give you a wonderful complexion care. And, ladies, that's just what you get when you wash your face with Swan. Because Swan and Swan alone has that exclusive super creamed blend. Why, even the way a cake of Swan feels tells you it differs from other soaps. Swan has an extra smoothness you can actually feel in the cake itself. And when you smooth Swan's soft, creamy lather on your face, you can feel a difference in the lather, too. It feels richer, creamier. And then, when you're through washing your face, your mirror will show you what Swan Super Creamed Blend does for your skin. It looks softer, smoother, younger. No wonder the Swan look is a young look. My Friend Irma, presented by Swan, another fine product of Lever Brothers Company, was produced by Cy Howard. Tonight's script was written by Cy Howard and Park Levy, and starred Mary Wilson as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane. The part of Professor Kropotkin was played by Hans Conried. Friends, we all know that the Red Cross has a bigger job to do than before the war. Did you know, for example, that today the program for veterans alone is nearly 12 times greater? For the armed forces, nearly 5 times greater? Well, those are a few of the facts, a few of the really serious problems the Red Cross must meet. Yes, this year the Red Cross needs $75 million to bring help and relief to millions of people. So please give generously. Frank Bingman speaking.
Prime. Gates are light and high. Prime. There's a reason why.
Prime.
Cakes improve with Spry.
Rely on Spry.
Yes, there's a reason why Spry makes grand cakes. Spry has an amazing cake improver secret. Try the Spry one bowl way and be sure of lighter, finer, richer cakes every time. No other type of shortening has Spry's cake improver. For new cake-making success, try Spry, the pure all-vegetable shortening.
Rely on Spry. S-P-R-Y. Rely on Spry. S-P-R-Y.
Tune in next week 1 hour earlier and listen to the Lux Radio Theater, immediately followed by My Friend Irma. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. And we're now on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.